Because we want to continue. We're in the midst of Joel, the book of Joel, just three chapters. Last week was a lot of doom and gloom, locusts and so on. Guess what? Chapter 2 is the same thing. So it's a very depressing chapter. But I'm going to just focus on... So last week we talked about the desolation of the land, and then call to mourn, lament and fast. Guess what? Chapter 2 is about the same thing. It talks about the day of the Lord, which is the day of judgment, and call to repentance. Again, a repeat of chapter 1. Next week, I'll talk about this, about promise of deliverance, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, judgment, and blessing. So something more hopeful and more cheerful, I hope. Yeah, but God's word is, he never means his word. He disciplines us because he loves us. So, in Joel chapter 2, let me read for you. Blow a trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and dark and thick darkness. Like blackness, there is spread upon the mountains a great and powerful people. Their like has never been before, nor will be again after them through the years of all generation. Again, the prophet Joel is pronouncing his the judgment that will befall upon Israel. Perhaps a foreign nation. Yeah, it will be a day of the Lord, a day of judgment. And verse 3, fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, but behind them a desolate wilderness, and nothing escapes them. So behind them, they're running away from all this, the heat, the destruction, the fire of judgment. And ahead, there's garden, there's hope. So it's, in a way, the prophecy that Joel gave, there's hope, there's deliverance. So, and Joel talks about the appearance of this. It's a picture of a locust. It looks really horrible, isn't it? Their appearance is like the appearance of horses. Yeah, look a bit like a horse. And like war horses, they run. As with a rumbling of chariots, they leap on the tops of the mountains, like the crackling of a flame of the fire devouring the stubble, like a powerful army drawn up for battles. So it was just amazing. It could be, you know, when Joel talks about this judgment, he was referring to a foreign nation. He was also probably referring to a natural calamity, like the plague of locusts that will come and sweep and bring destruction to Israel. And so in verse 6, he says here, before them people are in anguish, all faces grow pale. Like warriors, they charge. Like soldiers, they scale the wall. They march each on his way. They do not serve from their paths. They do not jostle one another. Each marches in his path. They burst through the weapons and are not halted. They leap upon the city. They run upon the walls. They climb up into the houses. They enter through the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and the moon are darkened. And the stars withdraw their shining. As I read this, the day of the Lord is a horrible, horrible day. In the New Testament, they talk about the day of the Lord as well, the day of judgment. For us, modern Christians, we know what the day of the Lord is. It talks about the coming of Jesus Christ, when he will judge the evil and the wickedness of this world. But at that time, in the Old Testament, Joel was referring to the judgment of Israel, the day of the Lord where Israel will be devastated and so on. You know, with the recent news of South and North Korea coming together or signing a treaty, we are very hopeful, very excited for Korea, for the Korean Peninsula. You know, North Korea, especially Pyongyang, the capital of North Korea, used to be called the Jerusalem of the East because there were many Christians there. And I heard that Kim Jong-un, that his grandfather used to play the organ in the church. But I don't know what happened to him. Yeah. So we pray, we cry out that North Korea will return back to God. So it's a day of the Lord, a day of judgment, a day of wrath. And let me continue in verse 11. The Lord utters his words, his voice before his army, for his camp is exceedingly great. He who executes his word is powerful. For the Lord, for the day of the Lord is great and very awesome. Who can endure it? And John mentions it. The Lord utters his word before his army. So we know it. This judgment comes from God. You know, we always like to picture God as loving, kind, gracious. Yes, he is. But there's another side of God's character. A God, a holy God, who does not tolerate evil and idolatry. He's a God, he's a God who judges. So it is his judgment, his voice, even his army. These are, sometimes for us, if we're going through a difficult time, we wonder, is it from you, God? Sometimes God allows these things to happen, right? To bring us, to wake us up, like in Joel chapter 1, where the team was waking us up. And God is still in control of his judgment. He's in full control. And Joel say, who can endure it? Because the devastation is so great, who can endure it? No one can endure it. But it is from God. And verse 12 to 13, it says here, yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me. So God is pleading the people of Israel, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. This is a very interesting rending. Rending means tearing. Tear your heart. Return to God and tear your heart, not only your garments. The tearing of one's clothes, one cloth or clothes, is an ancient tradition among the Jews. It is associated with mourning, grief, and loss. In the olden days, if the kings or the prophets hear something horrendous, a judgment from God, they would tear. I'm not going to do that in front of you guys, but in that way, it's a tearing. Yeah, and there's even a word for it, a Jewish ritual. It's called keriah or kriya. During a Jewish funeral, they will tear a piece of their shirt. They will literally cut and they will tear it over their heart. And it's you can even, I did some research and I found rich instructions on how to do the tearing. They even have an animation on how to tear properly. Isn't it interesting? And so sometimes the garment is cut by the rabbi and the bereaved will recite some words, yeah, words of comfort and so on, of mourning. And the tearing over the heart is like a sign of a broken heart. And when Joel says, right, return to the Lord. Rend not only your garments, but your heart. He's asking us to grieve, to break our heart. Rend your heart and not just your garments. And in the Jewish funeral, they also provide ribbons and they will tear that ribbon and they will pin it to their clothes. Very interesting. So today I'm going to just take out a piece of, yeah, a very drama, like Stephen. Okay, let me see. You know, when I think of this tearing, it's a tearing of our heart. It's also a tearing of God's heart. When God places judgment on Israel, I don't think he does it joyfully or cheerfully. It breaks his heart that he has to judge, to punish. And for our response is, we also need to, in a way, lament and to humble ourselves, to tear. So when we tear, I'm not sure whether you can hear that sound. Okay. It is the rending of your hearts. When we sin, we also rend or tear God's heart. When we are very far from him, it breaks God's heart. And that's the sound. It's an awful sound. I don't think you want to make it a ringtone for your... that rending of the heart. What breaks God's heart? Sometimes we need to tear the garments of our egoism, tear the garment of self-righteousness, that we think we don't need God. Or even tear the garments of materialism, where we put a lot of things above God. You know, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul talks about this. Talks about circumcision and about the Holy Spirit. He wrote, "A Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter." You know, in the Jewish babies, especially male babies, have to go through circumcision when they are day 6 and older. It's a very painful. It's the cutting of the foreskin. It's a physical cutting. But when we have Jesus in our heart, and we receive the Holy Spirit is, we do not have to have an external sign. What God is more concerned is the eternal sign, the circumcision of the heart, the tearing of our heart by the Holy Spirit to break us so that we can become so in tune with God that we become His children in that sense. So, next week we will talk about this, about the Holy Spirit and so on. And continue in verse 13. "Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And He relents over disaster." That is again the invitation for all of us. If we have broken God's heart with our sinfulness, with our egoism, with our love for materialism, whatever, material things and so on, God is making that invitation to all of us. We have direct access to God. Return to the Lord. And we know, this is His character, this is what He said. He is gracious, He's merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. And He relents over disaster. He will not bring disaster upon you. You know, one pastor said, repentance is perhaps the most hopeful and encouraging word in the Christian vocabulary. We don't like the word repentance. Ugh. But this pastor said it is the most hopeful and encouraging word. Because when God invites you to repent, to return to Him, that means there is hope. There is opportunity. He still loves you. He longs for you to return to Him. So come back to Him. You know, but there are certain things that will prevent us from returning to God. One of the things I think is pride. We don't need God. Or self-condemnation. I'm not good enough for God. And even anger and disappointment. Perhaps you've been disappointed with God. And you don't want to come back to God. Or certain strongholds. Habitual sins. Sexual sins. Deep-rooted bitterness. Or even the distractions of life. Like entertainment, relationships, comfort and convenience. All these things sometimes prevent us from returning to God. But again, God says, He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and He relents over disaster. So return to the Father. And in the Psalm 51, verse 17, often we always say we are not good enough for God. We are so disgusting to come to God. But I want to assure all of us, this is what the psalmist said, this is what David said in Psalm 51. "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, You will not despise." God will never reject a broken person. He wants to heal us. He wants to restore us. He wants to forgive us. So that invitation to return to Him is always open to all of us. And it reminds me of this, the story of the prodigal son. I think Joseph Chen mentioned it, right, a few Sundays ago. And I like this painting a lot. You know, we always see the father embracing. That's a very a beautiful picture of the father running to the son and then embracing him. But this is a painting that gives a different angle. It shows the father at the back removing the torn garment of the son. And he's getting the attendants to bring him fresh linen, fresh shirt, fresh clothing to put on his son, his beloved son. So I can just imagine that for all of us, when you come to the Father, when you return to the Father, exchange all your dirty rags. I'm not going to tell again. Exchange those dirty rags, those torn rags, for fresh garment from the Father. Return, because he's gracious and merciful. I don't think we have time, but maybe we have time. Okay, we have five time. Sorry. I have this inner monologue with me sometimes. Now you can tell my process. His name is Randy Pierce. Do anyone know who he is? Unlikely, yeah. His real name is Gregory Patrick. He is an entertainer. He was born in 1961. He's a Christian. He's a porn star. So for 25 years, he was the most successful male porn star of all times. But he was plagued by guilt, shame, and depression. And one day he cried out to God. God did not reject him. God, like the song says, with open arms, he welcomed Randy back. And I just want for you to hear his testimony. It's a very powerful testimony. I don't know what sins you have that you are struggling with. No sin is. God will still welcome us. A broken and contrite spirit, he welcomes us. Okay. Let's just sit back and listen to his testimony.
Back in the early 80s, I went to California to pursue acting. I was there for about a week and landed a motion picture. And I thought to myself, well, this isn't so hard. And then a couple of months later, there was a writer's strike in Hollywood, the union writer's strike, and the whole town shut down. And I, like a lot of actors and florists and cameramen and everything else, started to starve. So I subsidized my income by doing modeling work. And one day, a makeup artist handed me her business card and said, "You're cute, and if you ever want to do any nude work, call this number." And I remember being very gracious and said thank you. But of course, I was thinking that will ruin my career, so I couldn't do that. Well, about a month after that, I was really starving. I think I had one can of little potatoes and one can of pork and beans. And I gave in to the temptation, made the phone call, and they said, "Be here at this time." And I showed up and I made my first adult movie. And it was surprising how easy that was. I jumped on my motorcycle and I had four crisp brand new $100 bills, riding home thinking, what have I done? But at least I can eat. And I could act and do what they needed, so my phone rang. And pretty soon it started ringing a lot. The allure really was at first money. And then, to be absolutely honest with you, you know, I was a red-blooded young man, and the idolatry really started to creep in with the sex part. Women became idols to me, along with the money. And then a whole new idol, fame. And it was a triple threat at that point. The first year I was in the business, it was just such a whirlwind of newness and influx of cash that it really took me about a year and a half to 2 years where it started to affect me negatively. The struggles, of course, were always with me the entire time. Being a Christian, knowing I was backsliding, the pain started to really set in of what I was doing. The realization, what I was doing to my family, when my mother found out, my grandmother, my brothers, my friends. Shame started to creep in. And I started needing to find a way to bury that pain. And I wasn't hitting my knees enough. So I started to turn to drugs and alcohol. And it started to ruin my relationships and certainly my family relationships as well. God rescued me, plucked me out of that very, very dark place. One day, we'll jump ahead 25 years because that's how long I was in the business. I got into my car after a big movie, and all day long, there's people catering to you and anything you need, what can we get you? And so I kind of would play that game of movie star when I was on the set, giving them everything that they wanted. Well, this one particular day, I got in my car, I turned the key, started the vehicle, and drove about one block and pulled over and just absolutely broke down and wept because I knew I was hurting him so terribly and hurting myself. And I cried out to him in desperation at that point and said, I've had enough. Please, please take me back. And that was a turning point. I felt his love and his forgiveness and his peace. And what came into my mind at that very moment was the story of the prodigal son. And I felt the Spirit say to me, I am running towards you. And that was the turning point. I lost everything that was valuable to me, my wife, my children, my family, my sanity. And he reached down and he picked me up. At that very moment, my life changed. Because if he could save me, he could save anyone.
Very powerful testimony. Let us pray. Father, your arms are open. Your arms are open wide. And you run to us. You pursue us. And Father, we just want to come back to you. Friends, if you have anything that's holding you back, maybe a secret sin, come back to the Father. He loves you. He's merciful and gracious. Come back to the Father. Return to Him. His arms are open. And exchange your dirty garments, your torn garments, with fresh, clean linen garments from our Lord Jesus Christ. The garment of righteousness, the garment of holiness. Just imagine Him putting that new clothing upon you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for forgiveness. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.